Hey guys, welcome back to my channel for another episode of Porn Star Confession. Today I've got the incredibly handsome Mark Angelo. Welcome.
Do you see me blush now? Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, where did your name come from? How did you come up with Mark Angelo?
Well, actually, it's pretty much like my real name. My real name is Alexander Marco D'Angelo, so my poor name is Mark Angelo, so it comes from my second name and my last name. It's kind of, I mean, actually not many people know that. That's a real confession right now.
So, I mean, God, you've been in this industry now for how long? Like a long time.
Not 19 years. If you want me to date myself, I believe the first scene that I ever did came out on VHS. You know, right?
Damn. Okay, that's been a minute. All right, so how did you first get into it? Like, let's go back to the very, very beginning.
That's kind of a funny story. Back in the day, I started doing kind of a self-therapy. The whole porn thing is self-therapy. That's not my job and profession, of course, but it was funny. I was on that website back in the day called Big Muscle Bears. I wasn't that big. I wasn't a bear. I was growing. I was getting there, but I wasn't there. So anyway, it kind of happened that I was always on the top of the likes, and people liked me, and it seemed to be kind of a good. I wouldn't say my ego, but my self-esteem, because not many people know that I'm extremely introverted and I'm very, very, very shy. So that's how that therapy started for me, posting photos of myself and see what people think, because I never thought I can be popular, to say the least. So anyway, long story short, I got contacted by this guy. It was one of the owners of Butch Bear, the guys that lived in Vegas at that time. And they're lawyers. And till today, I clearly remember the message that I got, which was such a official, probably lawyer lingo. But anyways, it said exactly, would you consider partake in an adult entertainment feature? So it's kind of a strange thing. You don't hear that on these kind of websites. So I kind of thought about it and say, well, I would, but I totally don't think I'm porn material. You know, I don't have a huge dick. I don't have that kind of body like what you see everywhere. And I didn't think it's me. But then the guy said, hey, you look fine. We want to see you. So long story short, back in that day, again, VHS time, they actually, when you work for a studio, they flew you there. They accommodate you somewhere. They put, you know, they fed you and they paid you a huge lot of money. This is not the case anymore, as we all know. But anyways, they flew me to Vegas. They put me in an amazing place. And I did the very first two scenes. It was kind of funny because they wanted me to do a DP, and I've never done DP in my life. I mean, I was the bottom for that scene, and I was in so much pain. I actually was shaking and stuff, because both guys were very, very thick. And they were in pain as well, because they were trying to put those giant dicks in this tiny, almost virgin hole. So, long story short, this was the very first time I got into porn. After that, I did few things for Pantheon Bear. One of the scenes there got really popular, and things just took off, and that was 19 years ago. I'm very glad I did it. It did me a lot of good for my own, as I said, self-therapy. And I never, ever had any regrets doing this.
So, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you get paid for your first scene way back then?
1200 American, which I'm in Canada, so that was a huge amount of money. Now, if you get 400 or 500, you're lucky. Right? Things change so much. There is not even DVDs anymore. You know, we kind of skipped the whole era of DVDs. Now everything is online. So yeah, things have changed a lot in the industry, as we know. But I don't know where it's going. What do you think? Where is going?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's changed so much because you went from VHS to DVD to studios and now with the fan content sites, and
We don't
I
know.
don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Anyways, we'll just see what happens. I'm 55 and I'm still doing it, and I have no any intention of stopping or canceling that. It's a lot of fun. I love it, and I'll continue as long as I can.
So, where were you born?
I was born in Bulgaria, as you can probably hear from my accent. My name is Italian because I'm half Italian, half Bulgarian. I grew up in Bulgaria. The last 20, 28 years of my life, I've been in Canada. Of course, I came here when I was 26, so the accent will never go away. It's always there. I thought it's always there to hunt me. To haunt me, not hunt me, as you once sleep. But actually, no, I learned to accept it and to appreciate it. You know, we need to like where we are from, our roots, and celebrate that. Especially in Canada, it's very easy. There's so many accents. I live in Toronto, so there are people from all over the world, and that's kind of a thing to deal with every day anyway.
So, what made you go from Bulgaria to Canada? How did that whole thing take
That
place?
was work related. That was way before any adult stuff, even the photos and things. I used to be in IT, and I had a company back in Bulgaria that did a couple of very high profile national projects that used technologies that weren't very popular. They were popular in Europe, but not popular in North America. And the government of Saskatchewan, that's one of the provinces in Canada, wanted to do a pilot project with one of those technologies. So essentially, the company I worked for, they Googled, you know, projects and companies that dealt with that in the past. And somehow my name popped up because, again, these were very high-end or high profile, should I say. Projects. One was for the Bulgarian stock exchange, the other one was for Bulgarian bank system. And I guess they found me and they asked me if I would like to come and work for this project. It's supposed to be 8 months, it continued 12 months. It succeeded, it was all good. And then they asked me, well, we really like you, why don't you stay? And I thought for a couple of days and I said, well, why don't I stay? The only problem is it was in Regina. If anybody knows, Regina is actually my ex-boss was from Denver, where you are. But anyways, Regina is extremely cold in the winter. This is one of those places where people have to plug their cars during the night. They actually during the day too, if they're outside during the winter, because otherwise the engine block will just crack open. It will break
What?
from the cold. Yeah. So I survived there for a year and a half and I moved to Calgary. Most people know where Calgary is, and it was better, it was different. I was there for about 10 years and then moved to Toronto for the last 15, 16 years. And now it's time for the next chapter of my life. I'm never afraid of moving around. So in about a month, I'm moving to Spain.
Shit.
Yeah, and that's a bomb that now I just dropped on your show because nobody knows that. I mean, my close friends do. So yeah, I'm moving to Spain.
Wow. Jesus. Okay. So, Where did you say it was where it got super, super cold?
Regina. It's the capital of Saskatchewan, which is the middle kind of province in Canada.
And it gets so cold, and an engine block will crack.
In the wintertime. Summers are gorgeous there. It's beautiful, but yeah, wintertime can get really cold. We're talking about minus 40 sometimes Celsius. I have no idea. Actually, this is about where it meets with Fahrenheit, so it's about minus 40 Fahrenheit.
Fuck
Yeah.
that. Hell no.
Yeah, it was cold. It was cold. You have to start your car with a remote control from the house to kind of try to warm up a little bit before you can get in or even open it.
Jesus.
Yeah. So,
And you were doing IT at that time, right?
yes.
Okay. And then you said you moved from there to before
Calgary.
Calgary?
Yeah, to Calgary. 10 years there. Continue to do that work. Actually, at the end, I had my own consulting company doing the same thing, IT and IS. And then I moved to Toronto and I decided to change my life. It was too stressful, to be honest. I didn't like that when I hit 40. I just didn't like being so stressed. Stress is a killer. So I went back to college for massage therapy. Then I did osteopathy. I mean, long story short, after two college degrees, a doctorate in osteopathy, and a PhD in medical sciences, I'm done studying. But as I said, it's time for my new chapter of my life. So I'm not gonna do any more of this massage therapy and osteopathy much. Maybe I'll start teaching when I'm in Spain. So.
So, what had you so stressed? Was it owning your own consulting place?
Yes, and the economy, this was exactly 2007, 2008, that period. And dealing with IT and IS, you always deal with clients, employees, projects, deadlines, budgets. You never leave the work at the office. You kind of take it at home, and you have these tape recorders in your head that never stop during the night. And it was too much. It was too stressful. And I said, well, why am I dealing with this? So I continued to have the company for a few more years while I was still in college, but slowly I kind of offloaded projects and clients, and that was fine.
Okay. No, I mean, I get wanting to move away from stress because at some point, something's got to give. If
Yeah.
you're literally living your job, fuck that.
Exactly.
So you never did like porn full time. It was
No.
like, how would you describe it?
I don't know. I tried
Like, was it?
to. I would say for fun, I would say again, because it started as self-therapy, to get out of my shell. People still don't believe that. I used to be so painfully shy. The first few times I went to a bar, actually one time it was in LA. I can't even remember the name of the bar. And I got in and I was with a friend, and the friend went to go get beers, and I just walked, and you feel those eyes all over you. Like it was so scary. Not so scary. It's not scary, but it was really intimidating. And I actually started sweating, and I started shaking. And I went into one corner and just waited for my friend to bring me the beer, and I just held my beer like that, and just I felt so out of place. You have no idea. That's how pathologically shy I was at that point. So all these self-therapies that I started, putting myself out there, the photos first, then the porn, helped me a lot. I'm still introverted. That doesn't change much. I like it that way, but I'm not that shy anymore.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no, I feel like most of the performers I've interviewed are introverted. I would say 80, 90%.
That's a
Like,
good tidbit. I didn't know that, but yeah.
so how would you say you are now compared to before you started?
Well,
Like, how much has it changed you?
Oh, it changed me a lot. Changed me a lot for better, for sure. As I said, you know, I'm grateful for starting doing porn, and not just I enjoy it, I like it, but also, as I said, it helped me a lot to get out of my shell and in personal and in professional ways. I'm very different that way. Now I have no problem going on in a bar or anything. I actually done even stage performances at this point, which I would never, ever even consider doing back then. Again, many years ago. In fact, I'm going to Darklands in next year in March, end of February, beginning of March. I'm going to be doing some stage performances, and I'm actually looking forward to it. Otherwise, if I didn't go through this process of getting out of my shell, I would never even consider that. I did it a few times, go-go dancing and things like that, just to get out of this discomfort. And you know, you have to push yourself. If something is stopping you, you feel uncomfortable because of that, you have to push yourself. You can't just sit in on the couch at home and say, "Oh, I can't do that." That the can't thing is just, it's not in my vocabulary. If I want something, I just go for it. Same thing with now moving to Spain. A lot of people say, so the few friends, sorry, that know, they're like, how can you do that? That's like such a huge move. And I'm like, it's not that much. Like if from here, from Toronto to my new place in Spain, is actually a bit closer than from here to Vancouver. And you have no problem going to Vancouver. You know, it's not that big. It's misconception. Just because it's over the pond, it doesn't mean that it's that far, or it's still a move. Yeah, I don't. But if I put something in my head, I do it.
But how do you get past that initial fear? Because, like you said, a lot of people allow that fear to paralyze them, and they just sit on the couch and never do anything. Yes. How do you personally take that first step?
Well, the first step was, as I said, it was, you know, putting my photos out there on these big muscle bears and bear photos.
How did you get to that point?
Well, that wasn't that hard because that was more anonymous in a way. You're not live there. It's just photos, right? Then for the porn, as I mentioned, how it happened, and it's still not something that you're live, you're not, it's there, it's a crew, and it's, you know, you're having sex, it's not as hard. Then, you know, you're progressing from there, you're getting more and more comfortable. In fact, I've done so many scenes over the years that in one studio they started pairing me with newbies because they know that I'll put them at ease, and I'll tell them, I'll guide them, and I'll tell them what to do and how it's done, because I've been through it. You know, it's not easy. It's not you know, when the camera is in your face, when the lights are there, and, you know, people feel out, it's not like you're just having sex. It's a completely different story. And I keep saying, that's work. That's not fun that you have in a bedroom. It's very different. So, but as I said, it just slowly started to happen for me. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to work at it. You have to work at yourself. Image at your confidence levels. You just have to push yourself, but you need to have that goal. Otherwise, I honestly know people who are not half bad looking. I mean, you know, I'm like, woof, you're fucking good looking and hot and stuff, and they just refuse to see it, refuse to believe it. They sit at home, they don't do anything. They just they're in that shell that I used to be, but I pushed it. I came out of it, and I'm so happy for it. And they just don't want to do that first step. And even though they get validation from other people, they just still stuck into their heads too much. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely have come out of your shell. I mean, Darklands, that's That's one of those live sex shows,
Mm-hmm.
right? I think you got more balls than me.
I
I don't
did
know.
actually the first time it was here in Toronto. There was a bar that closed sadly, and I didn't know any of the people who were performing, and I was asked to perform, and we were all at some point we got in the stage, and all of a sudden this ginormous black dick gets in my ass, and I literally passed out because later I realized that was Cutler X, and we know that he's huge, and he just I don't know where it went, but it went somewhere very, very deep, and he was pounding me on the stage like there was no tomorrow. I literally passed out for a few seconds, I guess. But that was my first live performance. I don't know. I don't know.
How did that not send you back into your shell, though?
Why would it though? You have to also know,
I don't know, most people.
you have to learn to deal with rejection and bad comments. Nobody, there is no single person on this planet that will be liked by everyone. You know, if you actually start listening to the negative ones, you got not only back into the shell, but back into the closet. It's hard. So you have to learn to filter these things, because and you can't fault people. You know, some people love twinks, good for them. Other people likes chubs, good for them. Others just love muscles, good for them. You know, there is nobody who would like everything at the same time, and you have to realize that, and you can't put this on you. It's not your fault. Like, some people like masculine Jason's ginormous dick. Other people don't like huge dicks because they had experience in the past that something like that hurt them too much, so they stay away from that. It's everybody's psyche is different. Everybody's how they grew up is different. You can't blame people for that, and you have to learn to filter these comments and this feedback if you get it, and such, and just concentrate on what you do. And if there is anything constructive that you hear from one or other person, just do that if you want. It's not a must, because you do at the end of the day, you do this for yourself. Yeah, you do it for your fans, but it is still for yourself. You know, you try to satisfy your fans' fantasies and their needs, but it's still for yourself at the end of the day. I don't want to sound selfish, but because you don't know them, you do it for them to give them what they need virtually. But at the end of the day, you know yourself. You do it for yourself in that way. So, yeah. It's hard, and some people sadly go back into the closet. I'm sorry, into the shell, but you just keep going.
So I'm curious, why Spain? How did that whole come about?
Okay, that's a...
Because I'm in agreement with your friends. That's quite a fucking move. That's not like moving down the street or a state over.
No, I know. Okay, that's another confession that mo a lot of people don't know, but my job involved my hands as a massage therapist and osteopath. You know, you have to adjust people's bones and stuff all the time, and I was also constantly leaning over a table. Unfortunately, about 5 years ago, they diagnosed me with really bad arthritis in my hands and my spine. So I had to stop doing this work. It was really, really hard, really tough on my body, and I was in a lot of pain the last year. So that's the main reason why I couldn't continue to do that job. And it was really well-paid job. You know, I was a doctor and do stuff, you know, in healthcare. And here, massage therapy and osteopathy are both covered by insurance companies. So it was a great job, great profession, but I just can't do it anymore. And living in Toronto is still the biggest city in Canada, and becoming more and more Well, okay, less and less affordable, let's put it that way. So when I realized that I have to stop doing that job, I'm figuring out I'm gonna go back into my previous one with the information systems. I love developing shit and creating things, but for that it's not a stable gig, so I can't afford living in such expensive city like Toronto. So I started doing research, and Spain turned out to be way more affordable. All check boxes, literally check there. Their healthcare is amazing. I read somewhere kind of a comparison or ranking, sorry, of the public healthcare, and Spain came out fourth, Canada fifth. And then, just for reference, for the American friends there, it was 24 for the state. Again, we're talking about public healthcare. So that checked, the affordability checked. Kind of a dream on the back of my head is to live on the beach one day. So my new place is literally on the Mediterranean, on the beach. So that's a great thing. And also, it's so cheap actually in Europe to travel in Europe. I have friends that live in Malaga, which is south of Spain, sorry, the south part of Spain, and they went to Greece for 80 euros flight, just the flight. It's 80 euros. I mean, that's nothing, like almost 80 American dollars to just go to Greece. So everything is a lot more affordable once you're in Europe. Another thing is, of course, I'm a European citizen, so it's easy for me to live and work there as well. So a lot of check boxes checked, and I think it's a good decision, and off I go. As I said, I don't I make decisions and I go after it and I do it.
So you said IT was not a stable income?
No. Right now, it could be if I find a good paying job and stuff, but I'm 55. In IT, there's so many young kids there that go for the job, and the big companies will like to hire them because they're gonna have less seniority, less pay, and all that stuff. So it's not easy to find a good paying job, very quickly to cover all that. And I don't feel like doing it like 24/7 at this point. I'm not, I want to have time for the other stuff and to travel and all that. So I think it's a bad best decision right now to do this just temporary, like on project based. But because it's so much more affordable there, you can do this with consideration that for a few months, if you don't have project, you're still fine. Because you got to be covered. In Toronto, that's not possible. You have to be constantly employed, constantly having.
Yeah, I feel like the older you get, the more you just crave like money and peace and stability. Just
Peace and stability, yes. I don't crave money. If I have the money, fine, perfect. I'll just travel more. But I don't crave money. I never did. That's why I probably didn't save enough. I should have saved more. I like to live my life. I like to travel. I like to explore. But money are not important. People that are stuck into that, like I have to make more money. I have to buy a bigger car or better car, bigger house, things like that. It's sad because at the end of the day, what are you going to show for, right?
I didn't mean money as far as that, as far as like, oh, I need constantly bigger and better. That's not what I meant when I said money. When I said money was like money to not enough money that you don't have to
You'll be
worry about
comfortable.
it.
Yeah. Absolutely agree with that. Yes, I agree with that.
I don't think anyone likes going to the grocery store and having to check their balance first, like that type of
Yeah,
thing.
we're looking for coupons and stuff, which sadly a lot of people do, but no, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Comfort is the keyword. Be comfortable in your life, in your That's what it counts. And that's exactly why I was doing my research for where to go, and this checked all the boxes, Spain, because of the affordability, and I can do it.
Did you ever think about going back home?
I do from time to not to leave though. It's not as stable as Spain would be. Same thing, you know, people ask me why are not moving to Mexico? Well, Mexico is unstable politically and it's not all that good. Mexico gets hurricanes. It's in unbelievably hot during the summer. Let's say Puerto Vallarta, where we all love to go. So it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah, I can afford to live there,
Yeah.
but it's not the same. So again, when I was doing the research, I was looking through many things and many factors, like, as I said, healthcare, because when you're 55, you need to make sure you know you have. I mean, I'm healthy except this arthritis thing, which turns out is genetic predisposition. But other than that, I'm healthy. I take care of myself. But certain things can happen when you get old. You know, when you get older, you know, you get up out of the bed in the morning and you kind of start squeaking, and you know, it's not as easy to get going.
I know exactly what you
Yep.
mean. So, do you ever miss home? Do you ever?
You know, lately, a lot of those friends who know about my move, they say, "Are you gonna miss this? Are you gonna miss Toronto? Are you gonna miss?" I don't know how this will sound. I don't miss things. I enjoy the memories.
What?
I enjoy the memories. I cherish the memories, but I don't necessarily miss it because my view is that missing is missing something or somebody. It's more of a negative feeling than it's positive because, I mean, hear me out. It's negative because it makes you feel bad. Like if you're missing a place, it makes you feel bad. Oh, but I miss that place. I'm not there, you know. Instead of or versus, you know, just oh, I had such good memories there. That was so much fun. Or I love that place. It was beautiful and stuff like that. Or I had my friends back home when I was in high school. We had so much fun. We did this and this and this. It's just to concentrate on the good memory. There's oh, I miss my friends. You can't even do that because I have no idea where they are in their life at this moment. I mean, yeah, I keep in touch, but they're not the same people, just like I'm not the same person. So missing people is tricky. I mean, yeah, I miss my mom. I lost all my parents, grandparents, you know, over the years. I'm kind of alone that way. I do miss my mom, my grandma, whatever, but I try to keep that good memories of them because otherwise what I'm gonna just sit and soak, oh I miss them so much. What am I gonna do without them? You know what I mean? Like I prefer to keep it on the up and upside. I'm not the internal optimist here. The internal optimist, I get into down phases, but I try to keep things more positive and go further. I mean, what would I miss in Toronto? Like, it's a big city. There are beautiful places in Toronto. Like, I walk my doggy by the lake, and it's beautiful. But why do I have to concentrate on the fact that I'm not gonna do this anymore? I rather concentrate on the fact that I'm gonna be walking him on the beach on the Mediterranean for the next, I mean, for the rest of his life, right? So, yeah, I would
Yeah.
have the memory of that. I would have a good memory so that. Anything in the past, and I'll keep those memories, and that's a great thing to do. I never want to forget good things, and as a matter of fact, I don't keep in my head necessarily bad things that have happened. They happen to everybody, but I ignore them. I try not to concentrate on them. And the good memories, yeah, they're there to stay. They're there to be kept. But missing, I find that it's more of a negative emotion than looking forward to something new or concentrating on something new that you're doing today or looking forward to tomorrow.
I think that's a phenomenal outlook. I love it. I think more people would benefit from having that outlook because you're right. A lot of people, will have this attitude of I miss this, I miss that, and they're always living in the past and they're not present at all in the
Exactly.
future and appreciating all the things they have and what's right in front of their face.
Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. You know, you just concentrating on something that's not there, it makes you feel bad. Why? You can't
No.
change it. It's not there.
No, that's so true. So I'm curious, I'm going somewhere with this, but where in the world, when did all the tattoos start and everything? Because you've got a very, very distinctive look. You don't exactly blend in. So when did all that start?
Well, as you know yourself, tattooing takes many years because you can't just do everything at the same time. It's funny, I had a tramp stamp that's probably one of my first tattoos, and I don't like it anymore because it doesn't match anything else in my body. But a couple of others I covered with something else. But the main style, you know, it comes with this specific pattern and stuff, and it's everywhere essentially in my in my back. You know, the kind of stylized wings, they all have this pattern. My calves have that same pattern, you know, my pecs, everything has the same pattern, and I like that more stylized things. I like roses, as you can see, and I put few just for fun. But I see, you know, based on my profession, I've seen a lot of naked people, and well, I mean, undressed, you know, when I'm doing massage and stuff. And I've been really, really shocked by how people put a unicorn here, a butterfly here, a dolphin right here, some Chinese symbol that says, I like soup right here, you know, things like that. I don't get that. It's done something, you know. Maybe for some people it's a memory, which is fine. I appreciate it, but it's not me. You know, it's not me. I like, to me, tattoo is art. You're the canvas, and you're just wearing that art. You know, there are certain personal things. You know, like you have letters and stuff. I have letters from here. You know, here they mean personal things, but that's not the main purpose of my tattoos. My tattoos are more of a art piece. And yeah,
Okay. And when did
it
you?
took many years. Sorry, I
Sorry.
tried to say it took many years. It's not something that happened at once. Yeah.
That's true. So when did you start bulking up? Because you said when you first started posting pictures on that website way back in the day, you were not where you
No,
are
I look
now.
different, of course. I mean, that was when I was my early 30s, essentially. No, I mean, yeah, late 20s, early 30s. I started going to the gym more seriously when I was around 29, 30. I didn't know a lot of what I'm doing and stuff. So for the first several years, it's been just to kind of get into proper shape. I've always, during my teen years, and I've always been a chubby guy. So for me, that was a big struggle to first get a bit leaner. I was never lean in my life, but bulking up kind of helps in that way as well, because it keeps you look better and more proportionate. When I say I never been lean, I mean, I've never seen my abs in my entire life. You know, I've been to a point when if I squeeze my abs, you see something there maybe, but never six pack. And now at this stage of my life, I'm a daddy. I have a daddy bot. That's perfectly fine. I love it. I embrace it. And who doesn't like it is their problem, not mine. But that's yeah. I was about 30 when I started to go to the gym more seriously, and I didn't hit it with more intent and more science, quote unquote, until probably I was 38, 39. Yeah, so. But you know, it's like anything else. You know, you have to keep at it. And I've changed a lot. I wish I had some of my old pictures to show here. My body did change a lot, so.
What, like, looking back at, like, the evolution of your look, you know, whether it's your tattoos, your body, all that stuff, do you ever regret any of it, or are you happy
None.
The way it all worked out?
I never regret. I try to live my life without regrets, period. You know what? Actually, I have one regret in the back of my head always. I kind of always wanted to have a kid. That's the only thing that I probably regret in my entire life. Nothing else. I really like to live my life without regrets. And, you know, all that philosophy about missing things and all these things, I think it helps me with that. I could have done certain things in my life differently. Absolutely. Anybody could. But regret is one of those other negative emotions that you don't need to concentrate on. And I do live my life without regrets. Because when I make a decision and I go for it, I don't make usually stupid decisions. I research them. I get into it, you know, with more purpose. And so that prevents me from regretting things. Even that Trump stamp that I mentioned, you know, it's not a regret because it's a memory. That's where it started. So.
Yeah. So why didn't you ever have a kid?
I couldn't. No, that's not right. I shouldn't say I couldn't. It's hard to have a kid by yourself when you're younger. When I was older enough to do that, my partners didn't want to have kids. Now, I'm too old to have a little kid. It's hard because you can't have a kid when you're 17 and you have a teenager. Come on, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that you can't physically or you just that it just doesn't match anymore. That way, that's the only that I was this close with my ex-husband back in Calgary to adopt, but things went downhill for different reasons. And that would have been fantastic. Like, I really, really wanted to have a kid, and that's what I'm saying. That probably is one of my only regrets in life that I didn't,
yeah. So, are you single now then? So, what is your, like, for everyone watching who's like, oh my God, Mark, he's so dreamy. What's your ideal guy?
I say that to everybody because I don't have type. I don't believe in types. You have to have certain spark, certain connection, certain see something in the eyes or it's in the kiss, like the stupid song says. I don't have a type.
I don't necessarily mean physically. I'm talking about even just like personality traits, values, stuff like that.
Well, if we get to personality and traits and values, that's a very long conversation. But, you know, at some point of my life, I thought, you know, opposites attract and then it doesn't work, then this works, then that doesn't work. At the end of the day, there is no recipe. You have to click, and every relationship requires compromises in many levels, especially as you're getting older, because if you have relationships when you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Both people adjust very easily. Both people grow still emotionally and, you know, in many respects. When you're getting after 40, 45, 50, now I'm 55, you're way settled in your ways. You have to make way more concessions, way more, you know, you have to give up a lot of things. And if you don't want to, if you're not flexible enough to do that, it's not going to work. And of course, that goes on the other end too, the other side. And I have been flexible usually because of my view on things, but not everybody's responsive that way in terms of flexibility of change, possibility of adjusting to things. Yeah, relationships are hard. I've had a lot. I had many. Right now, I love being single because of that big move. Otherwise, you would feel way more responsible for another person to do that with you. I'm easy. As I said, I pack and go. But when you have somebody else, that responsibility can be way more important on your mind. If you love the person, if you care about them, now you're taking a decision for two people, even though you discuss that decision, you take that decision together. But then again, what if they don't want to do it? And for me, that's the only way I want to go forward. So you never know. These things are not hypothetical. They're real every time it happens, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that would be hard to move across the planet with someone else because, yeah, no, do you feel like that's happened a lot in your previous relationships where you wanted to go one way in life and they wanted to
It
go
does
another
happen,
way?
not a lot. In one, it did happen quite a bit that way, yes. But when I did the big moves, there I was always single when I was doing the big moves. Yeah, because again, same reasons we just discussed. You have to feel free to do it for yourself.
Would it even be possible for you to go back to owning your own firm, but just doing it
Yeah, no,
part-time
I still own it.
or not
Yeah, I still
really?
own it, and I'm gonna be doing it part time. Yes, that's the whole idea. Yeah, I'm gonna just be looking for project related work, like project here, project there. It is still my company, and I don't know that there's some. I have it, but it's registered here. I don't know how it's gonna work out being registered in. I mean, it doesn't have to be registered in Spain. It doesn't matter. That's just tax-related shit that I don't want to deal with this right now. Time will come for taxes, not now. But yeah, that's the idea.
So how, like, looking back, I mean, with as long as you've been in this industry, what would you say has been your secret to longevity and being around as long as you have? Because a lot of people are only around for 1, 2, 3 years at most, and then that's it.
That's a good question. But there are many different types of answers to that. Again, they're personal, to each person. Some people can't take, like, some people believe and think that they can make a living from porn. You can't, unless you're very selected few, like right now, on just for fans, OnlyFans, or whatever platform that can actually make a lot of money from that. But then you see that they have content, like they film 2, 3 times a week. For that, they have to travel all the time. This is full-time job, and it's not that easy to do. People think, oh, but it's sex. No, it's not that easy to do. Filming something a few times a week, that's hard. Traveling all the time for that purpose, that's hard. So that's why it's probably not easy to have that longevity. And then I always get that many people over the years have asked me, so how do you get into it? Well, how can I do this? And I said, first thing first, please make sure you have a solid, not a backup plan, but plan A. Make sure you're solid. And then do this for fun. This should never be your main purpose in life, and definitely not your main income source, because things change. people get tired of you, you stop being original, interesting, whatever. Doesn't matter. Your audience is evolving, it's changing, especially now when there is so much out there and the access is so easy. It's not like before when you had the VHS, you have to go buy it secretly in the store or order the DVD online and stuff. That was different. Now it's everywhere. Now it's so easy. I mean, look at Twitter and all the porn is there. You don't need to get anything anywhere else. But because of that, the audiences look for something very different all the time, something more unique. You have to find your niche. You can't look. A lot of porn stars, and I'm gonna say about this, like giant studios that have big ones like Hot House, Raging Stallion, Lucas, my favorite. You have people who are exclusive and they do a whole bunch of amazing videos. They're hot, and then 2 years later you don't hear from them or about them because that's it. It's over. It's a hassle. You can't keep going doing this. The recipe, to go back to your question, for my longevity in this is I don't do it for a living. I don't do it full time. I do it every once in a while. I do it, you know, just for the fun of it. And I don't expect this to support me and to feed me and to buy the food for my dog. So that's important. That's important how you approach things. So if you want to have that longevity, yeah, just do it for different reasons, but not as your main job, but not this is not your life. Believe me, you know, in few years, you know, you're going to be a different person. It doesn't work that way. So if you want to have the longevity, you just make sure you concentrate on something else. And this is just the add-on. This is the add-on, not the other way around. Maybe I lost a lot of admirers and followers right now by saying that, but that's okay.
No, I think that's a healthy way to look at it.
You know, people have fantasies that they can do this full time. No, sorry, buddy, that doesn't work that way. Not for everybody. I mean, I know people who do it, but even for them, it's not gonna be forever. You know, our mutual friends, you know, the muscle bearers, and they build a business around it and they're doing amazing, but how long they can keep doing this for? They do fantastic, you know, and I watched an interview with Angel and you know, sorry, with Will, and everything was he's that great person that can keep going and running, but still there is a limit to that if this is your main thing. You know, and I wish them the longest possible way of sticking to that. But if it's not your secondary thing, it's much harder. Just harder. Not impossible, but much harder.
Yeah. I wonder how much of your perspective and your outlook and your mindset stems from where you were raised, because you weren't born in the US or Canada, so you have a different outlook.
Could be one thing that is very important for a lot of people to understand who've been getting a little bit closer to me, I come across as a total bitch because how I was raised and where I come from, I don't beat around the bush. I'm very straightforward and direct. I'm, you know, honest to a fault sometimes, because when I moved to Canada, and you know, I moved in a professional environment where, you know, it's a company. There's people there. They couldn't take my brutal honesty and my directness, even in the emails and when I talk, and I said just as it is, just like I see it, and they were like all stressed about it for a moment. I started adjusting to that in a professional way, right? But in personal ways, I don't put that much pressure on myself to fix that. Sorry, wrong word, not to fix, because I don't think it's broken, but to change that, because I prefer people to be honest and straightforward with me. I expect that, you know, because I prefer to know exactly where you stand. I don't want to, you know, beat around the bush, and I want to know exactly what you think and what you want, and you know, just playing games and stuff. I never liked that. I never understood that. So because I'm very straightforward and very, very direct to a fault at times, people sometimes, unless they actually spend time to get to know me, they can get a little, you know, put off by that.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. I'm the same as you. I prefer straightforward, blunt, direct, and I'm the same way. And a lot of times I'll get people when they talk to me and they'll ask me, "Oh, are you mad at me?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just do."
Yeah, that's
'Cause yeah, it can come across as you being upset or
absolutely.
not
Yeah.
friendly
And on
or
top of
all
that, I
kinds
have
of
a
other
resting
shit.
bitch face, which doesn't help either. So
Have you always had the resting bitch face?
yes.
Do you think that's part of just being introverted or
I
what?
don't know. I
Where do you
never
think
thought
it
about
comes
that.
from?
I thought it was just a personal tra oh, sorry, not even a personal tra I just thought that's some people have it. I don't know. I never thought about the source of that, but I always had it, yes.
Okay. So for you, porn was never, it was never your primary source of income. It was never, you just did it, like you said, as like
Yes.
personal therapy.
Yes, and now it's fun too. You know, it's not. It's also fun. That's one thing that people
So
don't understand.
looking
Not
back,
don't understand. Probably don't know.
go ahead.
I hate watching my porn. I'm very critical, and I hate watching it. And I haven't seen a lot of my scenes. A lot. I haven't even seen them. Because again, you know, back goes back to that self-critical thing. And but again, I don't care. I when I do it, I have fun. I don't need to watch it. It's for other people to watch and enjoy. If they enjoy it, good for them. I love that. If I get feedback from fans and stuff, I love that scene. I love that. I say thank you. That means a lot to me, because it does. You know, if people like that, it's awesome. But not for me. I don't like watching it.
No, I get it. I've never seen any of my own stuff, so I
Yeah.
totally understand.
I know,
I
right?
oh no, I would. I've never understood people who can
I
watch their own content.
don't like that. Even when I edit, you know, some
So,
stuff that I have to edit, you know, you do a shot and you have like a couple of cameras and you have to edit it. I kind of try to do it as fast as possible, because I'm like, oh, I don't like that angle. Oh, I don't like, oh, why? Oh, so no. Yeah.
Do you usually outsource your editing, or
I
how does your
usually do it
editing
myself,
usually take place?
and then that's the problem. I started outsourcing
Okay.
now a little bit more, just because of that. I have better things to do with my time than just edit. But I'm good at editing.
Yeah.
I do it for other things, and it's not the problem. It's just that I much rather spend my time on something more productive. But I do edit some of my stuff. I have to, you know, there is no choice.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this, but knowing everything that you know now and everything that's transpired over the last 19 years, if you had to go back in time, would you do
Absolutely.
it all over again? Has it negatively impacted your life at all, or no?
Not at all. Not at all. I not
Zero?
that I know of, not that I care to remember. I don't, that's what I'm saying. I try to live everything without regrets, and that's one of the things. I don't see how it will impact my life in a negative way. No, not at all.
Wow. Not
I mean,
one.
I
Okay,
really
that's
like,
crazy.
I can't think of anything. No. No.
Okay. So what are the biggest
Again,
positives
it
then?
helped me to become who I am today. It helped me with stop being so in that stupid shell. Helped me be more outgoing. Being introvert is built-in feature, but you still can work on it, and it still can happen. Like even this, what we're doing right now, I'm pouring myself out just because I feel comfortable with this. If you tried this 10, 12, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have never been able to do that. Not to mention that I didn't have the experience to talk about, but yeah, it definitely helped me to become who I am today. And that's what I'm saying. I'm very grateful to what I did. I regret absolutely nothing. I don't see any negative impact on that, quite frankly. Maybe in some of
Wow.
my relationships, some could have felt differently about it, but not that it's been created, not that it's been an issue or a problem or something that even been discussed. So, yeah. I mean, I'm curious because you don't think that that's not acceptable answer, but you feel that like what do you regret much from all that?
Well, I think the biggest negative that it for myself, as well as most of the people I've interviewed, the biggest thing it negatively impacts is dating and or relationships. That's probably the
Yeah,
biggest,
no,
hands
it's never
down.
been an issue for me.
Wow.
But then again, I'm single.
That's impressive.
But I don't, what I'm saying is when I had relationships in the past, I don't think it's ever been an issue. The last guy I dated, it was awesome. We traveled together, we fucked together, I mean on camera. We did a lot of things together that way, content, even for studio and such. So, it can work that way as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So you said you're introverted. What does your typical day look like?
Now
What do you do like
it's slightly
for
different
fun?
because I
What?
don't work anymore full time with my previous job. Previous job, it took a lot of time. Now every day you're working with people, and it's different when you see patients. It's not like they're not like necessarily your buddies, your friends, and that you the communication is on a very different level. So being introverted in that profession is not the same thing as being introverted in your private life. What I do nowadays, I like to be on a computer. I like to develop stuff, create stuff, learning new development languages and stuff, taking a little course here and there to keep myself fresh with the ever-changing technology. I love that. I really enjoy that, working on computer stuff. That's why going back to information technologies and stuff, it's kind of a natural fallback again. And then after my dinner, I just love just watching TV shows and movies, curled up with my little doggy. I mean, he curls up to me. I don't know. I love that. Glass of red wine and I have a small addiction for pistachios, and maybe that's it. Then I go to bed. I used to, like 15 years ago, I would go out and party sometimes during Pride in Toronto. I can go out and do the dances every night for 3 nights. I haven't done this in 8, 10 years. It's not me anymore. And it's not that, okay, I can survive it, I can do it, but I don't want it anymore. It's not me anymore. I've changed that way. I don't like going out to bars and stuff. To me, it's a little bit of waste of time. Sometimes you have to see friends and stuff, but that's a different story. Then you see the people, you go for the people, not to be out in the bar or stuff.
When did that change for you, though? Because
Yeah, I
I'm
don't
the
know,
same
with
way.
age, with maturity, with what you start to appreciate in life. And as I said, when I moved to Toronto, the first probably 5 years, I all went out more. I met more people that way, and I went dancing, different occasions like New Year's or Pride or this and that. But then it stopped slowly. It stopped. I preferred, in the last 10 years, I prefer just traveling. With my ex, we've been on cruises and see a lot of the world that way, and that's way more fun for me than going out dancing. Yeah,
What kind of
I
dog do you have? I'm
he's
curious.
somewhere in the yard, but I have a little Yorkie. He's adorable. Yeah. He's really, really cute. And
Do you ever get looks? 'Cause you do not look like
course,
you'd
I do
own a
get looks.
Yorkie.
Sometimes I actually get a comment, "Oh, you kind of done much, two of you together, all the tattoos and stuff." And sometimes I look mean, and then you get this little tiny cuteness. But you know what? In his mind, he's a huge dog. He can attack no problem, the biggest Great Dane or whatever dog in the park. In his mind, he's the biggest dog in the park. They don't have that kind of size difference in their heads. It's funny, but he's a sweet guy. He always sleeps like right here, like curls up right here, sleeps with me. It's adorable.
That's sweet. Yeah, you don't look like you do IT either.
Well,
I mean, you look like a tattoo artist or
tattoo artist,
something.
yeah, my tattoo artist, the last one that did a lot of my work, he was tattooed from head to toe. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I don't know. But do
Are people surprised when they
probably,
find out what you do
probably,
for a
but
living?
looks are deceiving, and that's. I don't like that expression, "Don't judge the book by the cover," because yeah, it's too universal. But in case you just don't judge people by their looks. Get to know somebody, and then you can judge them all you want. But I don't judge people. No, I do. Sometimes I do. Okay, that's not a good thing, but sometimes I do. But anyway, yeah, just try to know the person. I mean, you're covered with tattoos everywhere. You have way more than me, and if somebody judges you by that, like, they don't know who you are. Why? What does it mean? Who cares? The tattoo is self-expression, and it has nothing to do with what you do for a living or who you are. Or are you in a gang because you have letters everywhere? People will think that, why? No, it has nothing to do with that.
That's so true. So I'm curious, what are some of the biggest, because when you age, your perspective changes, your values change, your mindset changes, even like what you said about going out to bars and clubs, and you're just like, fuck this. What would you say are the biggest realizations that you've had after 50?
Huh. That's a loaded question. Okay, but one thing that I'm trying to do, and I would say again, because it's very important, live your life with no regrets. because the last day will come, and if you're only full of with regrets, and it's gonna be harder. I don't know. I think it's gonna be hard. It's not even just living with regrets is not good. As you're getting older, you need to still be able to concentrate on where you are in life now, and eventually think of the future, but not obsessing about the future. Just same way, like, have memories, but don't let them pull you down, or that whole thing about missing things. What realizations? Realizations. You have to learn to like yourself. That's extremely, extremely important. And not just like yourself, love who you are, because and not just physically, of course, it starts from inside. Love who you are as a person. And of course, if you see something that you don't like, work on it, change it, because again, we don't want to have regrets. What else I realized? I realized that things that 20 years ago appeared so important to me, like, for example, how I look, or certain things of my body and stuff, means absolutely nothing. It's total shit. You should never care about that thing, right? Some people go to the gym to look better. Since I was 40, I started going to the gym to feel better and to be healthier. I didn't care anymore. I mean, 45, something like that. I don't care anymore about the looks. As I said, if you don't like me, don't like me. It doesn't matter what I do. And if you like me the way I am, perfect. That's go get watch my content. That's fine. And I don't do it anymore for other people. I do it for myself. And that's another thing that you need to learn to do as early as possible in life. Do everything for yourself. If you have significant other, consider them. Do it for each other. Do it together. But mostly do things for yourself, never for somebody else. Even if it's a significant other, don't do something just to make them love you. That never works. That's a futile attempt. Usually you don't change for anybody else. If you want to change something that you don't like yourself for about yourself, change it then. But for somebody else, you don't know, because how do you know if the next person you meet won't like something else or won't want something else? Come on. Again, futile game. Do it for yourself.
No, that I think you hit the nail on the head though about people changing themselves for other people, because so many people do that. They'll change who they are to try to impress someone or try to get someone to like them. And like you said, it's futile. Like,
Yeah, and then you're gonna be just again back to the regret stuff. You're gonna be like, oh, but I changed for you. I did that. So what? Who made you do that? That was your stupid decision. Why did you change for somebody else that don't care about you, or in that way, or whatever? No, don't do that. If they don't like you the way you are, you maybe take a note about what they don't like. See deep inside you if you don't like that about yourself too, then you can decide to work on it, but not because of the other person. That's why I said before in the beginning, I don't care about, negative feedbacks and stuff like that. You'll never find people that universally like everybody else. That doesn't work that way. And that's only normal.
So what does the future look like for
Well,
you,
that
other than
right now
moving
is
to
the biggest
Spain?
future thing, change for the future. I don't like to, I mean, not that I don't like, it's hard to think too much ahead, because usually that invokes expectations, and I like living also without expectations, because most times if you have expectations, you get disappointments. Like, let's say you have a hot date, or don't call it a date, have a hot fuck arranged, and have somebody coming over, or you going whatever, and we have a lot of expectations. So I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to fuck it, and I want to do this, and I want, you know, if you go there with these expectations, if these things don't go the same way, you will totally, you know, dislike that whole thing just because you get disappointed because something you wanted didn't happen. But that doesn't mean that the experience wasn't good. You know, people having a lot of expectations and just that's a recipe for disappointment in my head. That's why I try not to have any expectations. Not when I'm filming, not in a personal life. I don't want to have expectations because of that. I don't want to get disappointed because you always would. One way or another, your expectations will never be exactly the same what happens. Never. It just can't happen that way. So I try not to have expectations about anything and just go with the flow. I mean, I'm not talking about go with the flow uncontrollably, but, you know, just don't expect much. Just go and enjoy it. And you're gonna get way better experience from any kind of encounter than if you went there with expectations of what should happen exactly, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's a great outlook.
Goals,
but
yeah.
Do you have any goals that you would like to achieve?
Yes, actually, I do. It's one big thing in my bucket list. I want to learn to play the Moonlight Sonata before I kick the bucket on a piano. That's one big goal. I usually, as I mentioned before, when I have goals, I go after them. So the ones that I had, I'm pursuing them. I always go there. The Moonlight Sonata hasn't happened yet, but I'm not ready to kick the bucket either. So that's a big goal. In terms of, you know, when I move to Spain, I want to travel more. I want to, and I will, I want to see a few places that I haven't been to yet. I want to continue what I do with, you know, the adult content stuff. It's fun. I enjoy it. I mean, there are a lot of things that I would like to do, but I'm not making like specific plans because that goes back to the expectations and disappointments. Yeah.
Okay. So here's a deep question, and think about it for a sec before you answer. Someone asked me this yesterday, and yeah, if you could know, like, keep in mind, there would be no way to change it. No way. So if there was no way to change it whatsoever, would you want to know the date and time of your death?
Who cares? No. No.
No?
What difference
Why?
it would make? Well, because if I do know, I have to have plans, I have to have expectations on how the last N years or months or weeks or days will proceed. And as I said, I don't like to do that. I don't like to have that kind of expectations and stuff. I mean, we all die. It will always happen. But if you concentrate on that, doesn't matter if it's a few weeks or a few years, if you concentrate on that now, doesn't matter when you're going to kick the bucket, essentially live it without regret. Try to live every day as best as you can. You can never accomplish everything all the time, but try it, you know, try to do it as best as you can. Don't have regrets, so don't do stupid things that you're going to regret in the future. And then when that day comes, what if you know about it or not? Like, if you know about it, you'll be too busy obsessing about it, or too busy doing stuff because it's coming, or it's going to prevent you probably. I don't know. it could prevent you from living your life the best you can, because it's you know, when you have a death sentence, you know, I don't see it as a positive thing to know. Personally, maybe fits more my philosophy of living, you know, to not know, to be surprised.
I like that. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. I like your answer a lot. And I think one thing you said, though, so true, is like, one thing that I always talk about is,
see, it matches me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he is.
So cute.
Yeah.
He's a pretty boy. But one thing you said, though, is it's a whole lot easier to not just screw up in the first place. Just don't screw up in the first place. You have nothing to apologize for later. You have nothing to regret.
Make the right choices. Make the right choices. It's not always easy, I know. But you see people that always make the wrong choices according to them and their outcome, their life, not according to me. You know, I don't judge what choices you make. But if it screws up your life, you're making bad choices for yourself, right? So don't do it in the first place. You know, take a breather. Think about it. Would that screw me up? In what way? In how? And, you know, so it's not always possible, but I'm a living proof that I live without regrets. I don't have regrets. So it's possible.
Yeah. Just do the right thing
to you, to yourself,
right,
because
thing.
I might not do something that's right thing according to yourself or some extremist Christian that have some strange ideas about what's wrong and right. I don't care about their wrong and right. It's about myself. Did I do something wrong? There are certain things that are universally right and wrong, right? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about your life choices, personal life choices.
Yeah. Damn. Well, I think you are going to have an amazing time in Spain.
Yeah. It's all the way we make it ourselves, right?
So
I don't expect anybody else to do that for me. And, you know, I'm there myself. I'm going to do it. And I'm looking forward to meeting new people and making new connections, travel more in Europe. So much better.
Okay. So, something I ask to everyone. If you could have sex in only two positions for the rest of your life, and that's it, what positions would you pick?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm totally versatile, so it's kind of restrictive. But I don't know if that will answer your question, but I like to look at the face and the eyes of the person I'm making. Just let's say fucking, because sometimes it's making love. It's very different. It's very different connections, different feeling. But let's say just having sex. I like to see the face. I like to watch the person's face and their expressions, because they don't lie a lot of the times when you see it, how they feel. So that's probably any position that will allow me to do that, both as a top or a bottom.
So missionary in writing, basically.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No. I'm the same way.
It's important.
Oh, I get it.
That extra connection.
I understand.
It's important.
Yeah. No. If I can't see my partner's face during sex, my interest level.
Because it's not the mechanical friction of your dick in their ass, right? It's the connection you're having.
Yeah.
During the sex. That's important.
Do you feel like that changed as you got older?
There's always that connection is always requirement. And to be honest, for me, for example, kissing is a match because that's how it starts. That's how you build that connection. If you don't kiss good, then if you're not into the kissing, so you're not going to be into the whole thing. Now, it's different when you're doing studio porn and then you have to just perform and you have to act. You might not like the person at all, you know. Can't stand them in some ways, which has happened, but you have to act, you know, you have to make it look like you're having the time of your life, right? So that's different. But when you talk about just personal sex, yeah, absolutely, kissing is a must, and then I need to look at your eyes.
Okay, so last question for you is, being in this industry as long as you've been and everything that you've seen and the evolution, what is your favorite point in time as far as porn goes?
Good question. They all have different feel and different taste to them because, as I said in the beginning, I was different at any point. So as I was growing up through that, maybe now in certain ways is because now for me is a mix between studio porn and the personal, you know, fan content thing, which you can have different expressions and you can do more things with the fan content. Certainly quite different, a little bit more free, more unscripted, let's say. So that combination between the two right now, it's probably the best when it comes to porn for me. A lot of people only done one or the other, they haven't done two. I'm very lucky that I do both, and it's, to me, it's kind of cool that you can. It's a different environment and different freedom of what you do, to show what you're doing and how you like it, and I enjoy it in general. So I'll say now it's better. Yeah, now it's better.
I get that. So for anyone watching this and wants to see more of you and your content and all that, where can they find you on social media, your fan site?
Well, the social media,
all that good
Twitter
stuff.
Is the main starting point. It's at MarcAngeloXXX. Same name is for OnlyFans and just for fans, it's MarcAngeloXXX. The only Rofa Club is only MarcAngelo. There was no XXX there. It was restriction of the number of characters. There is an Instagram, but Instagram is not interesting. So yeah, usually it's MarcAngeloXXX. I have a website, which is mark-angelo.com, which has all those links on it anyway. So I'm easy to find if somebody is interested in to watch what I do. It's easy to find.
But you don't update your Instagram?
It's not as spicy. People don't go there as much. So people love to see the Twitter. But no, I do. Okay.
What is your Instagram, though?
X with one X.
All right. Well, thank you very much for doing this. I had a blast talking to you, and I think your outlook, your mindset, you're just, I don't know. It's, I always enjoy interviewing older gentlemen because you guys are kind of at a point in life where you figured it all out.
They're starting. You know, yeah, this is a good point. They're starting to come together. There's always something more. to keep you going. You know, when you ask about goals, just keep going, just getting better in things and whatever it is. Just keep going. But thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I also enjoyed the conversation a lot. And yeah, it's always fun watching your other guests, and it's interesting to see them from different point of view, different perspective that, you know, you usually see them fucking. It's interesting to know that there is always a different side to everybody, right? It's very, very cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video. And if you did really enjoy it, I just want to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button. And on the left-hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord. And I personally answer that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.